You probably have heard of a guy by the name of Paul Getty.
Yes.
Paul Getty lived in Tulsa during those years. J. Paul Getty. He owned Spartan Aircraft. In World War II, he got frightened and he built a bomb shelter out there, which he lived in.
Out where?
Out where Spartan is, next to the airport.
And he lived there?
Yeah. Beautiful house he built underground. He felt that the Germans were going to bomb Tulsa. And it's still there. Paul wouldn't pay over $75 for a suit. Now, Paul was one of the richest men in America. And so, when Paul came in, it was my job to go over and pull the tags off the suits that he was looking at. And then, no matter what the price was, we would charge him $75. Paul Getty was doing a lot for Tulsa. He was supporting a lot of our community programs.
So Getty would have been shopping there in...
Oh, Getty would be shopping there in the...
In the 40s.
In the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
40s and 50s. Hmm?
And so talk to me about his personality then when he...
Although Paul was fairly young, he looked and acted like an old man. He didn't have any personality. He was just straightforward. Here's what I want. Thank you. And he paid for it.
Wasn't he a rather short man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he bought clothes from Vandiver's mm-hmm. in Tulsa mm-hmm. when he could have gone to New York, I guess, mm-hmm. does that mean he was a believer in supporting the local economy, or did
yes,
he just...
he was a believer in the local economy. And, of course, he was friends of the elders in my family. They served on boards together. I believe Paul served on the water board with my father. Built the water line from Spavinaw to Tulsa. Tulsa was running out of water. And I believe he served on that board and put some money into it.
He basically bought his clothes then at Vandiver's.
Yeah, and he would buy five suits at a time. Not one, not three, five.
Would he come in once a year? Or?
Well, I lost track of him. But it seems like about once every year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm. He'd come in during your regular store hours, mm-hmm. and I guess he was just Paul Getty at that time. People didn't make a big thing mm-hmm. about him or anything. He could just come in and shop with you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yep. he was a clothes man. As I recall seeing pictures of him, he wore his clothes very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he mm-hmm. was a clothes guy, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. He liked clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made his money over in the field in Oklahoma, an old field.
In Glenpool.
Not Glenpool. Cushing. If you look at a map, almost every oil line in America converges on Cushing.
Okay.
And the old Cushing field is 5 miles wide and 20 miles long. I know a lot about that field because I found a lease over there that they missed, and I bought it and drilled a well on it. And all of the old-timers made their money over there. Getty, McDonnell. Of course, you don't know McDonnell as an oil man. McDonnell made his money over there, and then he didn't like the oil business, and he formed an airplane manufacturing company. Now known as McDonnell Douglas.
Did he live in Tulsa?
He lived in the area. I don't know whether he lived in Tulsa or not, but he got his start in the Cushing field. And that was 1918, 1916, 1915.
Other famous names that might have shopped at Vandiver's that you might remember?
Oh, Bill Skelly.
Would you have sold clothes to Bill Skelly?
No, I didn't sell any clothes to Bill Skelly. Mr. Sinclair, Sinclair Oil, Warren Petroleum.
But they all paid full price.
Oh, yeah. They paid full price. They did. We only had a discount for one of them, and that was J. Paul.
What were the, you would consider the competing stores with Vandiver's?
There were two competing stores. One was Brown Duncan. That was for just dry goods. The other was Leslie Seidenbach, and he had the fashion lines, and he had the gill lines of china and silver. They were the competing, but we finally got the jump on John Duncan.
How's that?
We decided to build a store in Utica Square. There was not a branch store any place in Oklahoma. This was in 1957. And John Duncan came over. My father was still living. One of the founders was still living. And he was kind of retired, and I was running the store. He came over and met with my father. And he says, I've checked with my New York office, and we've checked with our analysts. And he says, I have studied this area. And he says, you're making a horrible mistake. So my father reduced the size of the store into a little shop. I got my father and my mother to take a trip to Europe. They'd never been there. And the store was under construction. And the minute they got on the airplane, I called Bill Flint, Flint Steel. And I said, Bill, let's get these plans out. We're going to make some changes. We tripled the size of the store.
In Utica Square? Now.
Yes. Yeah. My father got back from Europe, saw what was going on out there, and fired me.
Okay. Now what happens?
I didn't go anyplace. I just stayed there.
Kept coming to work.
Well, yeah, and paying attention to him.
You remember how old he would have been and you would have been at that time?
Oh, yeah, he was 70-something. Anyway, we opened the store. And, of course, we all belonged to offices, the New York office, the Chicago office, the Los Angeles office, because that's how we got information, what new lines were coming up to buy. And the Utica Square store had the largest square foot sales the first year it was open of any store in America. John Duncan and his experts were wrong.
So how long did Brown Duncan last downtown Tulsa?
Through about 69 or 70, and that's when we started closing the store.
But in the meantime, you and other stores, Clark's Good Clothes, they went to Utica Square?
Renberg's went to Utica Square.
Yeah.
But Clark's didn't. Clark's disappeared. Wolf's disappeared. Street's disappeared. Frug's disappeared. Brown Duncan disappeared. All of the downtown stores were gone by 70.